Early voting is underway in Orange County and across the state of North Carolina. Early voting runs until Saturday, March 12th at 6 different sites in Orange County. Of course, primary day is Tuesday, March 15th. A lot of races on the ballot. Of course, the presidential race sucking up all of the media air, but a lot of other races as well, including local races that are going to be decided in the primary election. So important to get to the polls and vote. Talking about the race for Board of County Commissioners, there are 9 candidates on the ballot for 4 open seats, different people running for different seats. All 9 candidates are Democrats, so this is going to be decided in the primary. Whoever wins the Democratic nomination will be unopposed in the general election. There's 1 at-large seat on the Orange County Board of Commissioners. Bernadette Pelissier currently holds it, but she's stepping down at the end of this year. 3 candidates are in the running to replace Pelissier on the board, and they join us here in the studio today. So we welcome Matt Hughes, Andy Cagle, and Mark Markopoulos. Thanks to all of you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
And we're going to have an informal conversation over the course of this hour. All of the big questions that face the Board of County Commissioners. Actually, a very small percentage of the questions that face the Board of County Commissioners, because we're not going to be able to get through all of them, but we'll be able to get through the big ones. Let's start by asking each of you to introduce yourselves and the standard opening question, why should voters vote for you? Let's actually start with Andy Cagle. I want to ask, endorsements are starting to come in for various candidates from organizations around the area. This particular race, different organizations are split, but most of the big endorsements are coming in for either Markopoulos or Hughes. So for people who care about those endorsements and give them weight, why should people consider Andy Cagle?
Well, I think my central focus, like I said, is on bringing business to Orange County and working in the area of affordable housing. I'm a 17-year business owner. I've worked in all aspects of construction with planning, environmental health. I understand, like I said, all the procedures to gain permitting, and I also understand the frustrations from those when they try to achieve that permitting, and I have the solution to the problem.
All right. Let me turn to Matt Hughes. Matt, the endorsements that have been coming in for Mark Markopoulos have generally touted his experience, of which, you know, he's got several decades. You've got quite a bit of experience, too. Maybe not as much. Why should people consider you?
Well, I think people should consider me because I could bring a new energy to the Board of County Commissioners. Over my near decade of experience, I've worked with the Democratic Party as its chair for 5 years, but also on local boards and commissions that are focused on civil rights, social equity, and also public education, and public education in particular, because that is the county's largest expenditure. And that is my biggest focus, along with economic development, especially with what we see coming out of Raleigh every budget cycle, either not keeping pace with enrollment growth when it comes to funding, when it comes to teacher pay, not compensating our teachers fairly, and honestly, the eliminations that have happened, including teacher assistance. So I think one of the things that I bring to this race is that I am willing to step it up when it comes to public education. It's not the only thing that we have to deal with here in Orange County, but I certainly think that it's an investment that we should be willing to make and perhaps up that investment over time.
And finally, Mark Markopoulos, Matt actually hinted at the question that I have for you. The endorsements that are coming in from Matt Hughes generally tout him as a fresh face for the board. For people who say they want a fresh face and change in a new direction and a new generation, why should those people consider Mark Markopoulos?
Well, I have a track record of bringing new ideas into the public arena that have been accepted. Recently working with the Orange County Living Wage Project, we have, in just the last 5 months, we've certified businesses that have given a total annual raise of $387,000. Money in workers' pockets, money in the local economy. When I ran in 2014, I proposed that we have a database of independent businesses, local independent businesses in Orange County. That is about to go live on the Orange County website in its first version. I have been there on solid waste. I suggested years ago that instead of making plans for a future big sorting facility, that we have a person hired that's out there pulling construction waste out of the landfill that can be used for Habitat for Humanity and sold low cost to residents. I've been a source of many new ideas over the years, and my experience allows me to delve back into just a wide variety of boards that I've served on and grassroots efforts I've been involved with.
All right. This is an informal conversation, by the way, so I'm not keeping anyone to a time limit. I might ask specific people to ask questions, answer questions first, but if you have something to say, just put your hand up in the air and I'll call on you in order. Ordinarily, we start in the last couple of forums that we've had, which you can check out on our website, chapelboro.com, by the way. We've started by talking about education. I actually want to start by talking about a different topic today because the three of you know I just ran in from having taught a class at Durham Tech, I teach American government. Today, we happen to be talking about civil rights and participation. I used the Orange County landfill and the Rogers Eubanks neighborhood as the issue for the example. And I think it's fair to say that the reaction from the class hearing this story of the last 40 years for the first time was, let's say, shocked gasps on a fairly regular basis from the students hearing this story. We've seemed to have turned the corner when it comes to addressing the issue and getting services to the Rogers Eubanks neighborhood. Are we doing enough? Are we moving fast enough? Are we on the right track? And if we're not on the right track, what more should we be doing? And how much faster should we be doing it? Mark Markopoulos.
Well, the conventional wisdom is that we've turned the corner because water and sewer is in the planning stages and will be run out there soon. But I've been in contact with people in the area, Minister Campbell, who's endorsed me, and I have talked about several issues, one of which is expanding the bus service. I helped survey the neighborhood on a few instances recently. The bus service has expanded to help working people, but it needs to run later and earlier in the day to be really useful. And I'm really concerned about two toxic waste dumps that are out there in the area. And we really don't know the extent to which those dumps may or may not be polluting the water in the area. And the state says that if you so much as turn a shovel full of that over, that you are then responsible for all the costs of cleaning it up. So the local governments have been hesitant to do that. But on the other hand, we have a moral obligation to figure that out. And we also need to provide more local businesses in the area by helping to train some of the local people in how you run a business.
You mentioned the reluctance of county boards and town boards to do anything. Are you the tipping point if you get elected? Will you be able to motivate the rest of the board to act?
I hope so. I will certainly advocate for it and figure out a creative way to make this work. If we're hamstrung by this, then we are really in a pickle. If we can't protect public health because of a hurdle like that, then we've got really big problems. I would like to give it a shot.
Andy Cagle, same question. What should the town or what should the board of county commissioners be doing when it comes to Rogers Eubanks that we're not already doing?
Well, I mean, we've finally got to the point where we need to be. And, those services are coming forward. I'm ashamed. Like I said, I mean, that the county took so long in making the right decisions in that when it comes to, the trash, like I said, I mean, and the water sewer situation. Yeah, I think, the county's used Rogers Road as an example. Like I said, they've moved forward in bringing programs, like say, for after-school programs for children that will be brought forth in other communities like Eflin. I know there's a lot of work in progress with Eflin, like I said, bringing these their community center together to have after-school programs that will benefit the youth and help us break this education gap that we've got going on.
That's actually a good point. There are other communities in the area that also need services. Talk about Eflin and what the county ought to be doing there.
Well, I mean, we've been behind for so long. Like I said, I mean, I lived out in the Midwest for as a teenager. My uncle from down on the coast said we were 40 years behind out there. And Orange County is about 25 behind when it comes to economic development. Yeah, I mean, we've got some sewer in place, but we've really got to start thinking ahead. A lot of the infrastructure that was installed, like this, is not actually capable of handling the businesses that want to come to Orange County. We've got to look real hard, like I said, at what we can do to adjust, like I said, and make corrections. The Economic Development District, like I said, is yet to have sewer or water utilities installed. And we need to work on our zoning. Like I said, I mean, we've got major overlapping zoning issues. throughout the economic development districts, and these must be corrected to bring ourselves in alignment with other neighboring counties.
And back to Rogers Eubanks and over to Matt Hughes. Is the county doing enough? Is it doing it fast enough? What should the county be doing?
Well, I think that the county has certainly made a lot of progress, particularly when we look at the fact that the landfill is now closed, when we look at the fact that there is now a community center. I was working with David Caldwell several years ago before the current community center was open, and I was working in there, and the facility they had then was not adequate, and of course the town of Chapel Hill forced them to close it because of issues that they apparently had with that facility. But with the new community center that we see there, with the Habitat housing that is there, I think that things are beginning to turn a corner. However, one of the things that I find striking when I go and visit folks over there is the fact that even though they have this affordable housing in the Habitat community, there's a lot of folks who still struggle to afford that even. And so one of the things that I think we certainly need to do to help the Rogers Eubanks community and other communities in Orange County is more economic development so that they have jobs that pay well and allow them to live in Orange County and be a part of the community. I think there's a lot of folks who do feel like they're being pushed out because Orange County is an expensive place to live. And I think that's one of the biggest things to me. Having jobs that pay well is a social justice issue, and it's something that I'll be focused on as a county commissioner.
And economic development is an issue that we'll focus on specifically later, but what is step number one as far as that goes for the board?
Well, the economic development districts is certainly a good step in the right direction in putting infrastructure there. Those districts were set up 25 years ago, and now they're starting to see the infrastructure investments from the county. Part of that is from the Article 46 funds that the county approved, the voters of the county approved in 2011. But we also have to be very deliberate in what we're doing. I think state-certified business parks would be a great step in the right direction in the Buckhorn area so that a lot of the permitting and zoning is taken care of. But one of the things that I've had expressed to me is folks who live near the Eno EDD, and I know both Andy and Mark have talked about this in different forums, is that we need water and sewer there. Well, part of the problem is that we'll need to hook into the Durham water system. Where that connection is at the Durham Orange Line is already over capacity. So we would have to put a pipe a few miles into Durham to hook into their system in order to have that access. That's going to be really expensive since we can't just go to the county line and hook into that. The other thing is that it's been expressed to me is that the city of Durham would probably like to annex wherever that water goes in. And there are folks who live there who say, I intentionally live in the unincorporated part of Orange County. I don't want to be in the city of Durham. I don't want to pay the additional taxes, and I don't want city water. So when we're doing economic development, including in these EDDs, we have to be really sensitive to the needs and wants of the residents who already live there and how economic development is going to impact them.
Mark Markopoulos, you had a follow-up?
Yeah, so as so many of these issues go, it comes down to money and smart negotiating and trade-offs. So hopefully we can get that figured out with the Eno Economic Development District. I'd like to speak about one particular economic development initiative that's caught my mind. The state legislature, in their budget proceedings, they surprisingly opened the door for industrial hemp to be grown lawfully in North Carolina. And I think that's a really big opportunity for us. It's a great boon to the farmers, but then you got to think about the value-added products you can get from hemp. If you Google hemp products, you will see a vast array of textiles and paper and amazing medicines. And we could move quickly on that. I went to Steve Brantley as soon as I heard about this and asked him, were there plans? And he set up a meeting with Mike Otrosco, the new economic ag development guy there. As an aside, really proud of Orange County. We're the only county that has a dedicated agriculture and environmental economic staff guy. At any rate, they are pursuing this. It was featured at the Ag Summit last week, and I think it holds some real promise. I would say the Buckhorn Road EDD would be a great place to locate processing facilities, and then we're going to need to work with the farmers to see if their seeders and other machinery can be useful for growing hemp.
whenever we talk about any of these issues, social justice or education, economic development, housing, they all kind of tend to weed into each other. So we're talking about economic development. Andy, I know you had a follow-up.
Yeah, in regard to industrial hemp, like saying the manufacturing facilities, to my understanding, like saying there's a distance stipulation, like say from one processing plant to another. I think it's like 250 miles.
It's 250.
Right. Well, you know, once again, we're way behind, like I said, because there's a plant ready to, for operation in Roseville that's about 90 miles from here. So, you know, that's out of the question. Yeah, we've got to get in here. If we're going to score, like I said, we're going to have to come up with some strategic plays, you know, because we're so late in the game. You know, we're going to have to make a power play.
What is the first thing, an open question for anyone, what is the first thing that the Board of County Commissioners ought to be doing? And all three of you have already suggested ideas. We've talked about EDDs. We've talked about agriculture. We've talked about getting jobs in Orange County that people can continue to live and work here, or that people can live and work here. What else should the county be doing when it comes to economic development? Are we on the right track right now? If we're not on the right track, what should we be doing? And what shouldn't the county be doing when it comes to economic development? What's a dead end? Andy?
Well, I think we've kind of addressed this already. Like I said, I mean, you know, it's been talked about before, like I said, but nobody's ready to take action. Like I said, I mean, you know, we've got to take care of our overlapping zoning issues, simplify the permitting process. You know, when a company applies for permitting in Orange County and they finally understand the time period that it's going to take to achieve that permitting, they lose interest and they go somewhere else. So those are the first things we've got to do. And we've got to get busy planning for the future to be able to provide our service needs in regard to our utilities for water and sewer.
And let me go over to Matt, because you were looking quizzical there for a second because you were really thinking, but you've also talked about the permitting process too, I know.
Well, I have also talked about the permitting process. However, one of the things that I think, or two things that the county needs to really focus on is as it relates to what our brand is in Orange County. We've got a really good tourism brand, thanks to Lori Policelli and those over at the tourism office here in Orange County. But we need to be able to sell ourselves a little bit more than we are now, and in a better way, for when businesses come to Orange County and they say, look, I'm looking at a site in Alamance County, I'm looking at a site in Orange County, the differences in taxes are this, what am I getting for that? And we need to have a ready available answer that you're investing in our culture, you're investing in our schools, you're investing in all these great things that make Orange County a better place to live, work, and play than some of our surrounding communities. Though I do love our surrounding communities, we've got to show what our competitive advantages are. The other thing that we need to be working on is we've got the business incubators here in Orange County, including Launch Chapel Hill, which is between the university, the town of Chapel Hill, and the county, so that when those businesses are ready to launch out of something like Launch and go out into the community and create more jobs, that they have an affordable place to go. A lot of businesses that are launched here as startups go to Durham or somewhere else where it's affordable, more affordable in terms of office space or wet lab space, and we'd like to keep them here in Orange County. Maybe we continue those types of partnerships that we've already begun to start entities like Launch to have affordable office space. The Green Tract is something that's talked about in terms of a school site, in terms of affordable housing. I'd like to look at that as a mixed-use opportunity with the town of Chapel Hill, with the town of Carrboro, with the county, to not only provide that affordable housing and a possible school site in the future, but also maybe some affordable office space for businesses.
I want to give Mark Markopoulos a chance to speak, but a quick follow-up on that. You mentioned the tax gap between Orange County and other counties that there are trade-offs for. Is it worth considering narrowing that tax gap?
I think it's worth considering. I think there's a lot of things that we need to do when it comes to taxes in Orange County. Residents are responsible for 84% of the property taxes through their residences, of the taxes collected by the county. So we need to get the more commercial activity here in Orange County so that we can get those commercial properties on the rolls. And then also we do need to look at our retail sales tax that we have. That's only about 10% of our budget.
compare it to Durham, it's almost 18. So we need to take advantage of more of these opportunities. Now, lowering property taxes, I don't know how that's going to be possible in narrowing that gap between us and Alamance County, but I think it will come in being able to expand and diversify our tax base.
Mark Markopoulos?
So every election season, we hear these issues discussed, the overarching themes and the general observations remain the same. There's no silver bullet that's going to solve all these problems. So I'd like to speak about one specific initiative that I've been involved in and a related initiative that I'll propose. Several months ago on a local blog, there was discussion about red tape in government, and I suggested that the building inspectors in the area should meet with builders periodically to resolve a lot of these issues that cost builders money, that cost homeowners money, you know, out of the heat of battle, not on the job site when the building inspector is costing you $1,000 on something you disagree with. I'm a building contractor, so I made that proposal, and Dan Bruce, the head of Orange County Inspections, was also lurking on that blog, and he said that was a great idea. He wanted to pursue that. Simultaneously, Holly Fricaro from the Homebuilders Association had made the same proposal. So this happened, and we met with code officials from all around the area, and it had impact. I mean, communicating across the table with these people out of the heat of battle resulted in less red tape and an improved relationship between the builders and the inspectors. So I was at a Homebuilders Association governmental affairs meeting a month or two ago, and there were some local developers there. And I learned something that I had not heard of before, but it makes sense. They said that the big corporate developers that come into the county, they have the resources to outlast the process. They can just spend the money, get their lawyers on it, and the local developers can't last that long. It's the local developers that we want developing in Orange County because they're from here, they're going to be responsive to the communities, and they know where they live. I'm going to propose that we have a similar process between the planning board and the local developers so that we can work to do away with some of this red tape, increase and speed up sensible economic development with people who live here.
We're speaking with Mark Markopoulos, Andy Cagle, Matt Hughes, Board of County Commissioners candidates at large. If you're just joining us, Andy Cagle, I want to give you a chance to respond to all of this. A lot of issues on the table, and I asked about taxes earlier, so I was wondering your thoughts.
Yeah, I think Mark's just trying to capitalize on the fact, that I've been campaigning, to lessen the complicated procedures that involve affordable housing, work with local chambers and the commissioners, to bring ourselves in alignment with our competition in regard to bringing business to Orange County. We can adjust that tax rate to a time period, productive recruitment and bringing business in Orange County. Orange County is, is way above our neighboring counties in regard to taxes. It's going to take some creative thinking, achieve bringing large business to Orange County, and I'm ready to move forward with it.
Theoretically, we're talking about the Rogers Eubanks neighborhood. We moved into economic development, but I want to get back to the Rogers Eubanks question because there's a second side of that issue, and that's the question of solid waste in Orange County. We've closed down the landfill now. We need a long-term solution for what Orange County is going to do with its solid waste, and that's a question that still hasn't been in the long term answered. So let's start with Matt Hughes and go left to right from Matt to Andy to Mark. What should the county's long-term solution be for solid waste, and when should that time frame be for actually taking action?
Well, and for those who are listening who may not know, we currently ship our waste on low mileage vehicles over to Durham, where it then gets transferred somewhere else. I think Sampson County is one of the communities where our waste ends up. And where our waste ends up are in places that have less stringent environmental regulations than we do here in Orange County. So we're really putting folks at risk. I think short term, we need a solid waste transfer station here in Orange County, located somewhere near the population center. So that we do take control of our waste. Now, I will say that means we're still shipping it somewhere. That's what a transfer station is. So in the short term, we can start taking a little bit more control of where our waste ends up by
developing the solid waste transfer station. Long term, I think it's worthwhile, especially with the population boom we're going to be seeing throughout the triangle. You know, Wake County's already at 1 million people. The entire triangle is, I think, on track to add another 1 million in the next 10 years or so, to have a regional solution to solid waste, like an waste-to-energy solution. Orange County itself cannot build it and operate it. We wouldn't have enough waste. But I think if we are looking at it in a regional perspective, then that's something that's worth doing. And I think that is something I would pursue if I were a county commissioner and tap into the network that I have of folks who are at the decision-making table already in Wake and Durham and other counties to make that a reality.
Same question, Andy Cakel.
Yeah, well, I think Matt's right on track. I mean, when it comes to the to our trash, like I said, short term, like I said, I think we should try to negotiate a contract with Alamance County, you know, where we can get past the transfer station, like I said, and save thousands of dollars in the process. If we're going to bury our trash, I mean, why haul it 150 miles to bury it, like I said, when you can haul it 10 miles and bury it and save all the money, like I said, that would be spent on the transfer station, like I said, I mean, to go toward a regional incinerator would be my thoughts on it. You know, I think the waste of energy, like I said, this is the way to go, but we must be mindful, like I said, about not producing trash, like I said, I mean, just to maintain, like I said, a waste incinerator and, you know, keep all our recycle programs in place and encourage the reduction of waste.
Mark Markopoulos.
So I've been making the case for our own transfer station for quite a long time now. I went over to the transfer station on East Club Boulevard to see just what kind of a facility it is. And if you're a quarter mile away, it's low impact. It's not as big a deal as some have made it out to be in the past. So we can absolutely site our own transfer station. Complicated issue, a lot of moving parts here. We're beginning to collect recycling out in the county, the blue bins, right? So we're going to be collecting recycling out in the county, but not household solid waste. Cabarrus County has the most successful collection program in the state, and that's because they pick up both. They pick up solid waste and recycling. So we need a recycling transfer facility at the same location so that the trucks can go out and pick up both and facilitate all that trash and recycling collection. So I also went to Sampson County to the landfill down there to see what we were doing with our trash after more or less solving the problem at Rogers Road. And there is a poor African American community down there that is closer to that landfill than the Rogers Road community is. And it's over the horizon, but it's an unethical situation that we've put ourselves in. So the question always is, okay, so you get a transfer station, you save $1 million a year collectively by doing that, right? Plus the pollution, the effect on climate change and air quality in the area. So then people say, so what do you do? You're still gonna have to send it to a landfill, and that's true. There's 15 to 20 years of landfill in North Carolina, and the big waste corporations are going to jack up the price as that landfill space diminishes. We're like junkies at this point. We're relying upon our connections to provide the solution, but they're going to charge us for it. Our solid waste department does a great job, and right now they're working on composting of organic waste, which is going to result in yet more reduction. The technologies for waste reduction continue to provide us with better solutions. We're going to end up with less and less to throw away. I believe in 15 years or so, we're going to look around at the high cost of landfilling, the high cost of fuel, and we're going to say, you know, we don't have that much waste anymore. We can find our own small landfill site in Orange County, and with good design and smart planning, we can do that. I'm against waste to energy. Again, you don't want to be taking this resource, which we call trash, and burning it, incinerating it, when there will be pollution from that. It's highly expensive, and then you become addicted to the waste stream as fuel. That's an untenable situation.
Let's turn to education, which the last couple of forums that we've had, that's been our first issue, and we're getting to it now, but it's the biggest item always on the Orange County budget. We've got two school districts, Chapel Hill Carver City Schools, Orange County Schools, both of them among the best in the state, but both of them also facing really significant problems, not the least of which is budgetary. Let's start with Andy Cagle and go to Matt Hughes and Mark Markopoulos. What is the most urgent need for our schools right now that the Board of County Commissioners can help provide? What is the Board of County Commissioners not doing that it ought to be doing?
Well, the most urgent need is funding. That's evident. We've got a $125 million bond on the ballot. It all comes back to economic development, like some and bring in businesses to Orange County, like I said, to be able to fund, like I say, our teachers, with higher wages, like I say, and fund our schools, short term, like I say, we're going to have to make some critical decisions, like I say, about where we're going to borrow the money, like I say, that's just a Band-Aid, like I say, we've got to quit putting Band-Aids on things. We've been doing it for years. We got to start fixing stuff.
Or in the situation where $125 million is a Band-Aid, we've got $200 right. to $300 million just in infrastructure repairs. Where should the money come from?
Well, we're just going to have to prioritize. Like I said, it's this given moment. Like I said, until I get in there and dissect the budget, the total budget, like I said, to look and see where we can borrow the money from, in different areas. Like I said, I don't think anyone can sit here and give an honest answer, like I said, of where it could actually come from. It's going to take each department, like I said, streamlining their budgets, like I said, to without reducing their effectiveness for that the individual department, like I said, but I think we can, like I said, go through all the departments, have them streamline their budgets, and bring that funding back in to the general fund and redirect it to the repairs of the schools.
Matt Hughes, same question.
Well, I certainly think that when you're looking at, let's go with the school facilities issue. When you're looking at that, the bond will only pay for 120 out of nearly 300 or over $300 million in school repairs that need to be done. For the remaining repairs, the county can prioritize school projects in the capital improvement process. That is something that is available. We may have to delay the opening of some parks and other projects that certainly enhance and beautify Orange County, and delay those so that we can make urgent repairs to our schools. I don't think folks realize that some of the schools, the heating and air conditioning systems don't work properly. There's safety issues and how porous some of the campuses are because of when they were built. They were built before the days of Columbine and Sandy Hook. And so there's a lot of health and safety needs that need to be met in addition to a lot of the facilities maintenance that's been delayed in part because of the recession. So using the capital improvement process is part of that. And the county can take on some additional debt through that process. That is something that's available to them. This is voter-approved debt when we do the bond, but the county does have access to take on some additional debt through other mechanisms in order to do it, and should do that. I think when you're also looking at the other things that the county commissioners need to do and should do is when it comes to funding, specifically personnel. Most of the education budget in Orange County for both school systems is salary and benefits for our various personnel, teachers, TAs, and whatnot. The General Assembly's cut TAs, and the county commissioners may need to give extra money to to both districts to hire or keep TAs. I was talking to a TA in the Orange County school system. There was a time in which the third and fourth grades in her school had a TA, one in each third grade classroom, and there was two that were shared for the fourth grade classrooms. Now she's the only one for 120 kids. That to me is not very friendly towards education, and it's because of the legislature, so we may need to step up. And the other thing is teacher salaries. Let's go with a third-year teacher who teaches here in Chapel Hill, has a
12% local salary supplement. In Orange County schools, it's a 10% local salary supplement. But over in Wake County, that teacher could now get 17% in a local salary supplement. And that's because the Board of Commissioners there and the school boards work together to collaborate to raise teacher pay and are on track to, at least in terms of Wake County, on track to meet the average salary, the national average salary for a teacher. That's something that the commissioner should do with our two school districts so that we can retain our great teachers and not lose them to other districts. Now, they do not micromanage the education budgets for the schools. They get a pot of money from the county, and they use how they see fit. I would be comfortable giving them additional monies with the promise that they're going to use it to up salaries for teachers.
Where does the money come from?
Well, that's where you get into the budget process, and that's where I certainly agree with Andy in terms of economic development. We do need to diversify our economy, diversify where we're getting our funds, and not rely so much on property taxes. The caveat of that, of course, is Wake County did it in part through a property tax increase. But I am someone who also believes very strongly that we've got smart staff here in Orange County, and we can find out how to do it, whether that is some sort of property tax increase. I think most people would say they would support paying teachers more and going through whatever that takes in order to do it.
Mark Markopoulos, same question.
So it's going to be about a year before this question is really addressed and begun to be answered. So we're going to be seeing different financial situations at that time. I would point out that the Orange County Commissioners and the school boards have always worked together to fund the schools to the best of our ability. And I am certain that that will continue. There will be questions about, do we float another bond? How much can we get from the CIP? And, you know, despite what Andy says, you think we were some backwater distressed community with no economic development here, our taxes are actually going up. Our tax revenue is going up, and so we can revisit that next year and see how we're looking. Just as an aside, just driving around the county, you can see the economic activity. You can see the construction sites. You can see future tax revenue in this county. Having said that, the schools need our help. The infrastructure has to be addressed. It's a huge investment, not only in our students, but in our economy. And we cannot fail to rise to the challenge. And we're going to have to look at the list of priorities and see what we can do with the money we've got and find the money to meet the other essential needs. And, you know, the other part of the infrastructure is, of course, the personnel, really the equal, if not more important, part of it. And I've, you know, talked to several teachers. There's, you know, it's just so sad to hear them talk about the situation that they're in and the fact that many of them are making plans to leave the school system. So we're going to have to work with the school boards, and we're going to have to work very transparently and collaboratively with the school boards, because the public's going to need to understand this process, or they may be dissatisfied with the outcome, because there are going to be some tough choices.
Got to give Matt Hughes a chance to speak, and Andy Kickle both have a follow-up. Quick follow-up for you, Matt. We've talked about economic development, broadening the tax base. We've mentioned streamlining budgeting in other departments. We've mentioned addressing the property tax rate. What would you do first to, over and above economic development, to get more money for the schools?
Like I said, it's going to be a whole different reality in a year, and we're going to have to look at what resources we have available at that time. And I think it's probably going to be a combination of another small bond and dipping into the capital improvements budget. And we may decide as a county, I'm not going to make the unilateral decision, but we may come together as a county around the schools, as we always have, and decide that a small tax increase may be important.
Matt Hughes?
Now, I will say one of the things about a small tax increase is that when the voters approve the bond in November, and I hope they do, one of the things they are approving is a tax increase, because the bond is going to require that. It's not going to be like the North Carolina bond, the Connect NC bond, where the legislature and the committee that's proposed it, including the university, has promised that there wouldn't be a tax increase. There will be a tax increase at some point to pay for that bond. So I think we get into the problem of, well, we can do
some improvements here and some investments here, and it's just a small in tax increase. But I think over time that will add up, and I think that's why we have to get back to diversifying our economy and where those revenue streams come from, because we do want to make investments in our community. That being said, I think one of the things that the two school systems should and can do is collaborate jointly in the budget process. In talking with school board members in both districts, that's something they'd like to see because of the budget picture. They want to present a unified front, or would like to present a unified front to the Board of Commissioners and seem less like competitors. And I think that with a new school board in Chapel and Carrboro, with a new superintendent in Orange County Schools, I think that's certainly possible. So that the commissioners have apples to apples to compare it to, compare the two budget pictures to, but they're also presenting comparable information to the commissioners that better inform them in the budget process.
Andy Cagle.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody here that can relate to the pain, like say, that the teacher's assistants and teachers, like say, endure. Like say, my wife was a teacher's assistant for years in Orange County Schools and a permanent sub. I know, like say, what they live through in regard to pay. And in regard to the bond on the ballot, like I said, I mean, that's a total sign of weakness for a county, like I said, to put a bond on the ballot. That's like a business getting a loan for payroll every week. Bankruptcy is soon to come, like I said, and we've got to work real hard to bring businesses into Orange County to supplement this. And in regard to these bonds that we apply, like I said, I mean, I want to be sure, like I said, that once this bond, like I said, has been repaid, you know, that the taxes come back down. Like I said, I mean, in the past, like I said, I mean, the citizens, like I said, have approved a bond, and the taxes were never reduced after this bond commitment was fulfilled. And my position as commissioner would be to make sure, like I said, that when that commitment is fulfilled, that there will be a reduction in taxes, because we'll bring enough business in here to supplement that need that bond was placed for.
Matt Hughes, follow up?
Absolutely. I don't think that bonds are a sign of weakness for a local government or even for the state government. Taking on debt, particularly voter-approved debt, is a sign to the commissioners that the voters and the commissioners are in line with a particular investment that they believe needs to be made, and give the authorization to do so. If anything, it's a democratization of the budget process, where the voters of Orange County can directly approve something that the commissioners are proposing. The commissioners could have done this through a variety of ways, perhaps, but I think having it approved by the voters is certainly something that is worth doing, particularly because people all over Orange County, whether in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, out in the county, want to have more of a say in local government, and this is an excellent way for people to do that.
I'll give Mark Markopoulos the last word.
When I was on the OWASA board, we took out bonds. We upgraded the wastewater treatment plant to prevent odors from going into the neighborhoods, to prevent methane from escaping, to increase capacity, because we knew that if we did that work now, it would cost less than if we did it in the future. Same with the water treatment plant. It's just smart financial planning. It's just the same, for the same reason that somebody takes out a loan to buy a car. You know, no family, no town, no government goes it alone out of their, you know, pulls themselves up by their own bootstraps on every purchase.
Well, and also I'd like to say that Orange County and North Carolina maintain their AAA bond ratings even in the middle of the recession. And so we have, as it is, we have stellar credit, and this would be a really good opportunity to get that debt at a lower interest rate before interest rates go up. We're really in a good position financially and where we are in the economy to take advantage of this now rather than wait later.
And real quick, just a little perspective on this. The state and federal government are not giving us a level and fair playing field to work from. We are having to react to rogue policies from the federal and state government that are cutting our tax money that should be coming back to us for meeting essential needs. So it's a very unique and difficult situation.
Yeah, well, all in all, like I said, I mean, it's still an increase to the taxpayers in regard to taxes. And we need to work, like I said, I mean, to diversify and make that adjustment, like I said, and be sure, like I said, that after that commitment is fulfilled, like I said, I mean, that the taxes come back down in the amount that they went up.
That ain't going to happen.
You know,
let's talk.
It's got to, because you can't keep putting the burden
name
on
a
the
county
citizens
in North Carolina that brought their taxes down.
Right. Well, the Orange County can be a good example, like I say, for the rest of the state.
All right. Let's talk about housing. Always a big issue, affordable housing, the housing supply in general, workforce housing, senior housing, family housing, housing for young professionals, trying to keep people here who work here and allow them to live in the community. What should the Board of County Commissioners, let's start with Mark Markopoulos and go to Matt and then Andy. What should the Board of County Commissioners be doing with regards to housing? Are there innovative programs we haven't tried? Where should we be procuring funding for housing? What should our priorities be?
Well, affordable housing is a multi-layered issue because we have all sorts of affordability issues. We have workforce housing for general working people, teachers, nurses, policemen. Then we have, on the other side of the spectrum, we have homeless people that need transitional housing. We have seniors, low-wealth seniors, that need affordable rentals. We have young people in transition that need affordable rentals. So there's a wide variety of ways to approach this problem. But given limited time, two things I like to point out. I have been advocating for a long time that we go to smaller homes. We don't need to be building the 2,000 square foot, even 1,700 square foot, mini McMansion style affordable home for families. We can get more bang for the buck by building two smaller homes. My family, my wife and I and two kids lived in a 900 square foot trailer while we were waiting to build our house, and it worked. It was very affordable housing, and it made our future possible for us. You can live in that space. And plus, it's hip now, right? I mean, you know, every time you turn around, you read an article about how hip small houses are, and there are some really nice ones. Transitional homeless housing, 200 square feet, way better than living under a bridge. It's working in the Northwest, in Greensboro. Communities are all around the country. Last point, land is very expensive in Orange County. The county owns a lot of land. I'll talk about the Green Tract in a minute. But I went to a presentation a few months ago, and to my surprise, the county has been buying up lots all around the area, even like out Ephesus Church Road. There are opportunities to put duplexes and triplexes in those lots or to sell some of those lots and use that money for affordable housing. On the Green Tract is where I think we really need to begin. My first priority would be to negotiate with the other owners of the Green Tract, which is Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County bought the Green Tract many years ago as the site for the new landfill. The town's expanded to the point where that was just no longer a practical solution, but we have the land. It's near transit. It's near food stores. And we can take, whatever, 20, 30 acres of that and build affordable housing that does not include the high cost of the land and immediately have an impact. And we're going to have $5 million on the bond that we're going to be deciding how to spend early next year, and I'd like to be part of that process.
Matt Hughes.
Well, I certainly think that the Green Tract is something that we should be looking into. But I would like to focus also on transitional homeless housing. And that's one of the things that we're going to have to make sure, maybe the Green Tract is part of this, where that transitional homeless housing is located, because when you are homeless and you're in the transition, you need a lot of services. There are folks who are homeless who may need mental health services, who may need additional services, and that's one of the things that makes transitional housing for homeless folks successful in other communities, is that it's located near all the services that they need, that you have those wraparound services. So I don't think that you can build transitional housing just anywhere. It certainly needs to make sure, we also need to make sure that it's in a location where you can have those wraparound services. I'm in particular focused on workforce housing. Housing that's affordable for folks who work at UNC, who work as teachers and nurses and other professionals, law enforcement, EMS, so that they can live in Orange County as well as work here. We know that Orange County is not affordable for a lot of folks. We know that there are a lot of teachers who teach here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and at the end of the day, they're commuting to Morrisville or Mebane or somewhere else where it's just more affordable. And I think everyone would agree that having these civil servants who are such an integral part of our community while they're working here should have the opportunity to live here and be pillars in the community, because they would have, not to say they don't already have an emotional investment, but having them here in the community is certainly something that would make our community stronger.
Andy Cagle, I know that's something you talked about right when we began.
Yeah, and I think Mark's right. I mean, you know, affordable housing, like I say, is multi-tiered. Like I say, there's a wide variety of, you know, different stages of affordable housing. And everything Matt and Mark mentioned, like I say, it's good. Like I say, I mean, but it's not possible in Orange County, like I said, because the current regulations won't allow it. And that's what we've got to adjust. If we really want affordable housing or workforce housing, like I said, then we have to get into the policies, like I said, the regulations, and adjust those so that those that type of housing is allowed. Like I said, the process is so tremendous, like I said, that builders and developers are not interested in going through the process. They just move on and do something else. There's been a void for years, like say for housing from $50,000 to $150,000. You won't find it out here in Orange County. I've been a property manager for 18 years, and I can offer affordable housing in Alamance County, but I can't do it in Orange.
Mark Markopoulos?
I built a 900 square foot house a few years ago, and that was affordable housing. It's quite possible.
Not on a wide scale, like I said, because if a developer wants to put in a subdivision, like I said, and the minor subdivision process, like I said, is so strenuous, like I said, that the time you get through it, that you're, it's not worth the money he's going to make. And there's a time stipulation to a minor subdivision process that you have to wait for 5 years before you can cut any more lots off. Another thing is the size of the lots. Like I said, the lots are so large, like I said, that are required that they're unaffordable for people to buy. We need to reduce the lot size so the land is more affordable for people to buy for this affordable housing. We've restricted the builder and development, like I said, and pushed him out along with the poor people we pushed out of Orange County for years.
Absolutely. That's why I suggested that I'm going to propose this meeting with local developers and the planning board to address some of these issues and deal with them.
Well, the good thing is the commissioners are in a position to fix these issues. And if it's a priority of the Board of Commissioners, or at least a majority of the commissioners, then these types of changes can be made to our planning process and to the regulations that we have in place. If it were up to the state legislature, you know, it may be DOA, but luckily we have the ability to make these changes. I will also say one of the things that's been left out of this conversation is low-income folks. In Orange County, we've seen property owners, apartment complexes have been bought up by national companies. If, as I understand it, if they stop accepting Section 8 in one state, they can't accept it anywhere else. And so we've seen folks who are low income, who have Section 8 vouchers, who are being pushed out of the communities they've lived in, some of whom have been living here in Orange County for a very long time. And with nowhere to go. And I think one of the things the commissioners may need to look at is subsidizing rents for folks who have Section 8 vouchers, or where apartment complexes are not as willing as they used to be to accept those vouchers.
You're listening to 97.9 FM Chapel Hill Carrboro. I mentioned that for legal purposes because we're WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro. We're getting to the top of the hour here, but we'll run a couple of minutes over so that we can give our candidates time to talk about this. Mark Markopoulos?
Real quick, I would like to propose that the county study the possibility of actually owning housing itself. Housing authorities all across the country are run and operated by governments. I'm not saying I think it's going to be the final silver bullet answer, but I think it's worth considering. We could keep the cost down potentially by engaging in this kind of enterprise.
Matt Hughes?
Well, and also on that point, I sit on the Human Relations Commission for Orange County, and as I understand it, publicly owned housing by local governments or whatnot, that's been in decline for several decades. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it. It's something that we should be prepared to look at. Part of the reason it's been in decline is because the federal government hasn't subsidized the building of those buildings. I'm for an all-of-the-above approach when it comes to housing for folks of all income types, and it may be that we explore Orange County building its own housing for folks, maybe also go in with the municipalities on that. Low-income housing that's publicly owned,
subsidizing, tiny houses, all of it, I think, needs to be considered if we're going to really approach affordable housing, because it is a multifaceted issue, and folks need affordable housing for different reasons, depending on their income. I'll say, as a millennial who recently got married, and my family's from Orange County, I've decided to make Orange County our home. It's really unaffordable to buy a home, and in my household, we've got two great incomes. We've got good jobs. We could easily buy a home, also a new home, I'll add, in other communities that surround Orange County. But here, it's really not affordable. It's a little bit more affordable in the county, out in the county, and in Hillsborough. But it's also affordable housing is an issue that is pertinent to middle-class folks as well. And anything that we can do to make land either more affordable or housing more affordable, building more affordable, is something that we really need to focus on if we also want a diverse community.
Andy Cagle on public housing.
Well, I sit on the Human Relations Commission with Matt, like saying, and he's right, like saying that decline, like saying in regard to, you know, federal housing. I appreciate the heart, like saying, you know, that Matt and Mark have, like saying, wanting the compassion, wanting to help people, like say, with incentives, like say, but incentives, like say, is money, and money we do not have because we have a bond on the ballot. I've already voted, like say, and I voted yes to the bond on the ballot, just to make sure that everybody stands clear. I voted for the bond on the ballot because we need the money for the schools. But we've got to do more, like say, and I think I've already made the statement in regard to public housing, like say, to cover the extent of the question.
And I got to move on because we got to wrap up. Mark Markopoulos, just a quick follow-up. Both Andy and Matt have talked about zoning and permitting as being a significant issue. Do you agree with them that that's something the county needs to take a look at as well?
Well, I mentioned earlier that I had been through this process with the inspections department, and I can see how it works. I have experience in that environment, and that I do believe that local developers can get with the planning staff and communicate ways that we can get rid of some of this red tape and speed up the process. I was on the planning board for over 2 years working on the UDO, and there are several issues that we can address. We kept a list, actually, of several issues that came up that we need to revisit later. For one is having a zoning allowance for someone whose family land has been out in the county for years, and they want to cut off a little bit of land for their son or daughter to live on. And right now, that's just an onerous and sometimes impossible process, and that's something that's got to change. So there's a number of things. And with tiny homes, we're going to need to make some changes. We certainly can do it. It's really the will, you know. It's time. It's time to address those things.
We've got to wrap up. It's been a great conversation, but of course we haven't gotten to so many of the issues that face the county right now. So just take a couple of minutes as we wrap up. We'll start with, I think we'll try to go in reverse order. So Mark Markopoulos, Matt Hughes, and then let Andy Cagle have the last word. What issues are on the table for Orange County that we haven't discussed today? What ideas should the board be considering in the next 2 and 4 years? And how can people find out more about you, your issues, and your campaign?
Mark Markopoulos. Well, all these issues are totally interrelated. So transportation is related to housing affordability. How we plan and how we link our transportation plans with the location of affordable housing is very important. Senior issues are linked to transportation. We have, there's a majority of the citizens of Orange County are over 55. And if you've ever been to the senior centers, you'll notice that you can hardly get a ping pong table to play on. They're just really being well used. And we are going to have to meet that need. And when I ran in 2014, one of the issues that kept coming up was affordable housing for seniors, for low-wealth seniors. So many people mentioned that to me that I have taken it to heart. So that's an issue related to senior living that we're going to need to address as well.
Matt Hughes?
Well, I certainly agree on the senior housing issue. One of the things that the county did in 2011 was it gave $1 million loan for the construction of Eno Haven Senior Apartments, which is located over near the Sportsplex where the senior center is co-housed. So the seniors over there not only have a lot of services that they can access and exercise facilities, but also 73 or 76, I can't remember which, units of affordable housing for seniors. Those are the types of projects I think the county should endeavor in as they're trying to solve affordable housing for specific populations. Issues that we haven't talked about that are on the horizon. This issue hasn't been on the horizon in terms of an emerging issue. It's been an issue for a very long time, and that's the issue of universal broadband access. A lot of Orange County is very rural, and I don't think a lot of folks understand that. And so the internet access that we take for granted, either because you have 4G on your phone or you have Time Warner or some other company at home, there's a lot of folks out in the county, I believe, 50-some thousand folks live out in unincorporated Orange County who don't have access to broadband internet. And the county school system, I think from 4th grade to 12th grade, you take home laptops. They have a one-to-one laptop initiative. There's a lot of students that go home who don't have access to the educational opportunities that those laptops, in theory, should be able to afford. So the county is working on universal broadband access. Some of it's tied up in the legislature. This was an issue that Bill Fazen was working on in the legislature. It's an issue that Greg Meyer's working on now that he's in that seat. But it's something that we are going to have to be persistent on because it's an educational issue. It's an economic development issue, and it's really something that we can do. And I think the county could erect towers as well out in the county and lease that space on towers to telecom companies. One of the things we've seen nationwide is for the first time users of home-based internet has actually gone down because people are using wireless more. So that's something that I think the county should be focused on for a variety of reasons, and I'm just disappointed we didn't get to talk about it.
Finally, Andy Cagle.
Well, I mean, generally, I think we've covered about everything, like Simon, affordable housing, economic development, like Simon, the education gap, like Simon, funding for teachers, housing. You know, I generally approach things like, say, that will benefit everyone, bringing everybody together, like, say, where we can achieve together. In 2014, I ran for sheriff of Orange County, and that was my central focus. In that campaign, like I said, in the end, we accomplished a whole lot. I campaigned for smaller patrol areas where deputies could interact with the citizens of Orange County and reduce the response times, something that would benefit each and every citizen of the county. My patrol plan was adopted. Response times have been reduced on the north side of the county. I also advocated for a legal advisor to the sheriff's office, an in-house attorney. December 2014, the commissioners approved the position and one was hired. Like I said, citizens can be assured, like them, and that their constitutional civil rights are better protected. I also advocated for a green fleet to reduce our carbon footprint and produce efficiency within the sheriff's office in regard to spending your tax dollars better. My green fleet proposal was adopted, and there are more than 12 patrol cars already converted, and other departments in the county have adopted the same program. And this is a path that I would like to continue as a county commissioner in bringing things forward that benefit everyone in Orange County.
And that is going to have to do it. We could talk for 3 hours, but we only have one. Again, early voting ongoing until Saturday, March 12th, 6 different sites in Orange County. Tuesday, March 15th is primary day. This election that we're talking about, this Board of County Commissioners race, is going to be decided in the primary, so get to the polls and vote. Democratic nominee is going to be unopposed in November. Matt Hughes, Andy Cagle, Mark Markopoulos, thank you so much. Best of luck on the campaign trail there for the next week and a day. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website, chapelboro.com. Also listen to our other two forums with the other 6 candidates who are also running for different seats on the Board of County Commissioners. A lot of other election information on the website as well. Mark, Andy, Matt, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And we'll have more local news after this.